Waiting Station. July 1975.
What's going on?
I ask Ma, rubbing my eyes. Why did you wake me up? I open my eyes to see the sky is still dark, but that Uncle Liang, his wife Aunt Kyung, and all the cousins are up. Beside me, Chu rolls up her thin blanket, folds her clothes, and puts them in her pillowcase. Outside, Li Chun scoops ladles full of cooked rice and puts it on banana leaves. Cave pokes the crackling fire to cook the dried fish while Keem fills up the petrol container with water.
Quiet, we have to go.
Ma puts her hand over my mouth.
I don't want to go. I don't want to walk again.
I want to go back to sleep. Though we have been living at Krang Truop for 2 months and my blistered feet have healed, the thought of more walking makes my ankles throb with pain.
Quiet, Pa admonishes me.
We don't want anyone to hear you crying. It is not safe for us to stay here anymore. We have to go, and we will ride on a truck to get there.
Why do we have to go, Pa?
It is no longer safe for us to stay here.
Are we walking a long way?
No. Your uncles talked the chief into arranging for us to be picked up by a Khmer Rouge truck. The truck will take us to Battambang. That is where your grandmother lives.
But I do not want to move anymore, Pa.
Pa has no words to soothe me. Biting back my tears, I put on my flip-flops and walk toward Cave's extended hand. Pa and Ma turn to Uncle Liang and thank him for letting us stay with him. Uncle Liang looks at her, face hanging, eyes blinking rapidly, and blesses Ma for a safe journey. The cousins stand outside the hut to see us off. Their hands dangle lifelessly by their sides as they watch Pa lead us away. By the time we arrive at the rendezvous area on the roadside, about 30 people have already gathered there. They squat and sit on the gravel road in 4 family groups. Many have almond-shaped eyes, thin noses, and light skin, which suggests they might also be of Chinese descent. Pure Khmer have curly black hair, flat noses, full lips, and dark chocolate skin. Our fellow travelers do not acknowledge our presence. Instead, they stare passively at the road. Like us, they carry with them light bundles of clothes and small packages of food. We sit on the gravel road next to them, but no words are exchanged. In the dark of night, we all wait for the truck. The world around us remains tranquil and asleep. All that can be heard is the chirping of crickets. The moments feel like forever. Then, suddenly, the glaring headlights of the military truck appear, and it stops before us. Pa transfers me from his warm arms onto the hard, cold bed of the truck. I do not want to let go of him. I do not want to ever leave his safe arms.